नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from 10th canto, first chapter, verse 24. Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Svarat Agrato Havita Devo Hare Priyachikirshayam Vasudeva Kalananda Sahasravadana Svarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshayam Okay, please. Matajis. Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Svarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Svarat Agrato Vanita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya Word for word meaning Vasudeva Kala Ananta The plenary expansion of Lord Krishna known as Ananta Deva or Sankarsana Ananta The all-pervasive incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Sahasravadana. Having thousands of hoods. Svarat. Fully independent. Agrataha. Previously. Pavita. Will appear. Deva. The Lord, Hare, of Lord Krishna, Priyachikirshaya, with the desire to act for the pleasure. In translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarsan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarsan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Purport, Sri Bhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Godhead. Yet, wherever Krishna appears, Sri Bhadev appears as his brother, sometimes elder and sometimes younger. When Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions and other incarnations appear with him. This is elaborately explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This time, Bhadev would appear before Krishna as Krishna's elder brother. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Vangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dignataranam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshatarine Pancha kalpa terubhyascha kripa sindubhyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Namo mahavatanyaya krishna prema pradate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne goratvishe namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Ranamami Hari Priye Chai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I read verse once again. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Bhadev just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So, Hare Krishna. Last Friday, we heard a class by Lakreshwari Mataji, who was saying how just as the Ganges flows through all the three worlds, purifying them, similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam class purifies those who listen, those who ask questions, and those who speak. And she said, while it's purifying for everybody, it is more purifying for those who ask questions, and even more for those who give class. So when she said that, I thought, well, I wonder what that would be like. But I didn't really expect that next Friday I would be sitting here. So this is mercy. And I also noticed how in these three verses is described appearance of Lord Krishna and Lord Bhadev. And in the next verse there will be announced appearance of Yogamaya, and this because soon we have Jagannath Ratha Yatra. I noticed how similar it is with the announcement of their appearance as the Ratayatra procession, except in Ratayatra, it is Badev who comes first, and in the middle is Subhadra, and then last goes Lord Jagannath. So in the purport of the verse, it is mentioned that this explanation how Lord Baladev appears from Krishna is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I checked where is it explained, and it's explained in chapter 5, which is titled The Glories of Lord Nityananda Bar. And this is how it is explained. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and Lord Balaram is his second body. Krishna is the primeval Lord, original form of Godhead, and Shri Balaram is his first bodily expansion. Then it is explained how there are two kinds of forms, Svamsha and Vibhinamsha. Svamshas are forms that have unlimited potency, and Vibhinamshas are forms that have limited potencies. So we living entities fall into this category of Vibhinamsha. And Lord Balaram is Svamsha. So Krishna and Balaram are one and the same identity, and they differ only in form. And Lord Balaram exists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He's assisting him. There is no difference in potency between Lords Krishna and Balaram. Difference is in their bodily structure. Then it goes to on to explain how Balaram, as the first expansion of Godhead, is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna. Sankarshan, Shesha, Naga, and Vishnus, who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk, are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. So here, this phrase, plenary portions, is intentionally contradictive, because while portion means a part, plenary means full, and this would be same as saying a portion that is complete, like the part that it was removed from. So we see in our world this does not happen. We don't have experience of this. Like I would imagine if I have a cake and I cut out piece of the cake, then I could not say that the piece, the portion, is the same as the whole cake, and that neither the piece that was that piece of cake that the portion was cut from is the same without that piece. So to understand this, I want to quote from Sri first verse of Sri Ishopanishad that says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Dachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate, that says, Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself, because he is the complete whole. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So here we already see that we cannot approach spiritual topics with our own experience of this world. And further in this fifth chapter, it goes on to explain how Valbhairava is original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. So these forms are Mahasankarshan, Karanabdishai, Garbhodakshai, Kshirodakshai, and Shesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both spiritual and material cosmic manifestations, while Shesha has personal service to the Lord, and it's called Ananta because it assists in his unlimited expansions by performing a limited variety of services. Here is also mentioned how these expansions are called Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Adiruddha expansions. And this is also connected immediately after this, it is beginning to describe the spiritual world, where it is called Paravyoma and says it is manifested as internal potency of Sri Krishna, while material sky is manifested by his external potency. So here I would like to say that my experience in trying to understand these explanations, I have a story from when I was learning Bhakti Shastri. We had a task to imagine imagine spiritual world, have a picture of, or image of the spiritual world, and then we were sharing our images, and then my image of the spiritual world was of a beach where all the particles were glittering, because in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned that the spiritual world does not need sun and moon, and that everything is self-illuminated. So for me this was a fascinating feature, how in spiritual world everything is shining and glittering. And then another girl shared her image of the spiritual world, and she said that for her spiritual world is Ratayatra procession in Puri, where Lord Chaitanya is dancing, and she's seeing him dance, and she's also participating as a dancer. So at that time, I remember I was struck by the different images we had, and I could understand that she's a senior devotee, and she was actually living in Mayapur for many years. I could understand immediately that her understanding of the spiritual world is much much better, much deeper, much more precise than mine, because my idea was more like some Pramajyoti emptiness, where spiritual world is just God and there's nobody there, everything is just shining, and it's just me and God. So that I could see that it's not really the spiritual world, it was more like impersonal, what impersonalists imagine. And this is, I noticed exactly why in Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's Pranamantra is especially emphasized that this was one of his mission when he went to the West to deliver people from these conceptions, because in the West, this impersonalism and voidism is very prominent. So then this chapter further, it's a long chapter actually. It has 235 verses with long purports. It goes much into detail describing the spiritual world. And I will just say here I have some quotes how Krishna Loka, planet in the highest region of the spiritual sky, has three divisions, and they are Dvaraka, Mathura, and Goloka or Gokula. And then Srila Prabhupada says in the purpose that it is the disease of the modern civilized man in his disbelief of everything in the revealed scriptures, and that everything in fact is inconceivable, for the truth is revealed only to the proper persons. So this came as a big relief for me to hear that Prabhupada says it's inconceivable, because then I don't need to feel bad that I cannot understand these topics. And revealed knowledge may in the beginning be unbelievable because of our paradoxical desire to verify everything with our own tiny brains. And that one who disbelieves in the Shastras is an atheist, and a staunch believer in the Shastra is the right person to gather knowledge. So this is in connection, he was always often arguing, trying to defeat, actually I think he said scientists are already defeated, that there is no need to defeat them, because our acharyas already defeated them. Because while in the Vedic science, Vedic culture, knowledge is received through shabda, by hearing from authorized persons, and authorized persons are those, as Prabhupada says, who are staunch believers in the shastras. So in the Vedic approach does not give much importance to our sense perception, but in the Western science, materialistic science, their approach is that everything needs to be verified. We cannot believe unless we see with our own eyes, and that is how they think the truth is revealed. So this is according to Shastras, completely rejected, because our senses are not pure and we cannot perceive the spiritual reality in our senses. This is just like Maharaj yesterday quoted the verse Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevana Bhakti Uchate, that we have to do service for the master of the senses so that our senses can become purified and that we can be released from our material designations. That is why we say we acquire knowledge by doing service, and we cannot with impure senses we cannot learn. We can study, memorize verses, but without service to the Lord we cannot actually learn. Then Prabhupada says further in this chapter, such knowledge as presented in the Shastras may be inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward by the proper authority, its meaning is revealed. So we as devotees, we take Shastras as authority, and we take spiritual master as authority, who is teaching us Shastras. And Gokula is also called Vraja, Goloka, Shvetadvip, and Vrindavan. Then he quotes Jiva Goswami from his work Krishna Sandarbha, that the abodes of Godhead in the material world, such as Dwaraka, Mathura, and Gokula, are facsimiles, exact copies representing the abodes of Godhead in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Dham. These places on earth are non-different from those original abodes, for they are facsimiles of those original holy places in the transcendental worlds. They are as good as Sri Krishna himself and are equally worshipable. And only for us who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state do the Dhammas and the Lord himself in his archa form appear before us resembling matter to give us the facility to see spirit with material eyes. So this is for us important because we, by Lord's mercy, we live in the Dham, and often when one gets familiar with the Dham, we tend to forget that it is a special place, and like here it says, it is exact copy of the spiritual world. And how this happens? It's mercy, because it resembles matter, but it's actually Krishna himself, as is the archa form of Krishna. So I wanted also to quote from Brahma Samhita, where I have two quotes. Yes, one is about how we have to put ointment in our eyes to see the Lord. This verse is 5:38. Pramanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajam. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is shyama sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salt of love. And the other verse is in connection with this explanation, how Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and then further expansions come. It is example of the light of the candle. So you can read Sanskrit. Diparchir eva hi dashantaram abhyupetya dipaya te vivrita hetu samana dharma yastadrig eva hicha vishnutaya vibhati govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. And then I wanted to further understand this concept of Chaturvyuha, because it was inconceivable to me. And again, I found that I really have this tendency, impersonalistic tendency, to think that the spiritual world is empty, because I found somewhere the explanation that because it is the Chaturvyuha is four persons. And for me, it was like, okay, so this is Krishna creating spiritual world. Spiritual world is emanating from him. So these must be something like directions. I think I read somewhere similar to directions, although we cannot compare our physical world with the spiritual, but we can maybe try to understand. But then I was defeated, so to say, by Prabhupada, because I found later in his purports that he is writing a lot about the Chaturvyuha expansions, because this was in the history of our Acharyas writing their books. It was very important for them to defeat Shankaracharya, who was in his commentary to Vedanta Sutra, which is called Sharira Bhashya. He had this problem with Chaturvyuha, because for him all is one, and then he could not accept that this their spiritual expansions. And he explained in this book that these forms, they must be spiritual, and that through these forms must be material, and that through them living entities are created in the material world. And then I found that Srila Prabhupada, he really gets, he's quoting Acharyas, defeating Shankaracharya, and one can feel his anger towards this Mayavada philosophy, where they say that Krishna's expansions are material, or that Krishna's body is material. And his argument is, he's also defending reality that Jiva is eternal, and it was not created in material world, as Shankaracharya says. And then he gives this argument: if one removes the cause, then the result is also removed. And that he is just, with this explanation, destroying the creation. So I would like to read from from Prabhupada's purport, that actually the explanation of the quadruple forms in the Vedic literature cannot be understood by the speculation of a conditioned soul. So this is, again, for me, big relief, because I try to understand, and then I find out that I cannot understand. The quadruple forms should be therefore be accepted just as they are described. The authority of the Vedas is such that even if one does not understand something by his limited perceptions, he should accept the Vedic injunction and not create interpretations to suit his imperfect understanding. And here he means, this is what Shankaracharya did. He further says, the quadruple forms have a spiritual existence that can be realized as Vasudeva Sattva, Shuddha Sattva, or unqualified goodness, which accompanies complete absorption in the understanding of Vasudeva. The quadruple forms, who are full in the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the enjoyers of the eternal potency. So this, again, we see is that these categories are completely transcendental, and they don't belong in the material world. So I spent a lot of time on this explanation, but I wanted also to say something about Balaram, because in the verse it says sometimes he appears as younger brother, sometimes he appears as older brother. So this refers to the occasion when Balaram appeared in Ramlila as Lakshman. And in Ram Lila, he was the younger brother. And as younger brother, he had to listen to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram made decisions that sometimes Lakshman didn't agree with. And he was in this incarnation building this desire to appear in the next incarnation as older brother. And especially it was difficult for Lakshman. It's explained that when Lord Ram banned Sita, he told her she must go to live in the forest in Valmiki Muni's ashram, and he asked Lakshman to take her. That was really for Lakshman difficult, and that is when he made this decision that next incarnation I will come as older brother, and then I will not have to listen to him, to my younger brother, which is as Lila very amazing, because it is his service to assist the Lord Ram Krishna in his pastimes. And now I would like to read. We can all sing together this pranam mantra of Balaram. Namaste Haladrik Rama. Namaste Mushalayuda. Namaste Revati Kanta. Namaste Bhaktavatsala. Namaste Balinam Shrestha. Namaste Dharanidara. Pralambare Namaste Stu. Trahima Krishna Purvaja. In this, his pranam mantra, these are his names, which refer to his famous pastimes. And first line says, obeisances to you, O Ram, O holder of the plow. This is the weapon of Balaram, is his plow. And just as Krishna has flute and he is the original cowherd boy, so similarly Balaram is the original farmer with his plow. Then says, obeisances to you, O wielder of the mace, Mushala Yudam. This is again Balaram's weapon, Mushala. It is sometimes also described as club, but it can be used, or it is used also as a pestle or mortar, which is a tool used in the kitchen to separate grains from the husks, which is in English called chaff. And it is explained that this chaff of the grain is can be compared to an anartas, and anartas means something that is without value and that we carry with us unnecessarily. So Krishna uses this weapon, Mushala, to pound away anartas. Next line, it says, Revati Kanta. Revati is his consort. That she went with her father to Lord Brahma to ask for a husband, and Brahma was a little bit busy, and he agreed to have Balaram as her husband. But when she came back, she because she was from a different age, she was much bigger, and that is why Balaram had to use his plow to make make her smaller, so that she could become his consort wife. Next line is Bhakta Vatsala, O kind benefactor of your devotees. Here, Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. Vatsa is a word for calf. It says here, just as cow is looking after its calf, similarly, Lord Balaram is looking after the devotees, and in his mood toward Krishna, there also his mood is one of friendship, but also one of parenthood, because he's older. Then Balinam Shrestam, Balaram is best of those who have strength, and Dharanidhara, one who holds and sustains earth. This is referred to as his incarnation as Ananta Shesha. We can pray to Balaram to receive spiritual power, because in the material world, power means one who has big muscles and who can dominate others, but in spiritual power is the power of surrender and power of letting go, and this is what Balaram is teaching. I chose many quotes, but now I see there will be time for me to read all of them. So I will choose again this quote about Balaram from again from Jiva Goswami, Krishna Sandarbha. It says, as the thread spreads both lengthwise and breadthwise, so everything we see in this cosmic manifestation is directly and indirectly existing in Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a nice analogy for us to meditate about how he's upholding the world. Because again, we are so much used to this we are influenced by the Western science, which give us the explanation that universe is void and planets are orbiting in empty space. But we see here that actually that there is Balaram always upholding all the planets. Then next is Pralambare Namastestu. This is Balaram's enemy of Pralamba. This is referring to a pastime in Krishna Lila when a demon Pralamba disguised himself as cowherd boy, and he was carrying, because Krishna and Balaram and their group of gopas, they were carrying each other, and this demon got hold of Balaram and he started to carry him away, but then Balaram killed him by punching him. And this demon is representing lust and desire for worship and position, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Sri Chaitanya Krishnamrita, that anarthas are every demon is representing some anartha, and those demons killed by Krishna, only Krishna can remove, but those demons killed by Balarams are anarthas that we ourselves need to work on to be removed. So Pralamba is one demon. I also wanted to mention how Srila Prabhupada, he opened Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan and in several other places like Bhubaneswar, or in Europe there is Krishna Balaram temple, New Mayapur in south of France, and his desire was to establish that Gaur Nithai, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are same as Krishna and Balaram. And that is why the main deities in Vrindavan temple are Krishna, Balaram. And this was a surprise to all the Rajabasis, because in Vrindavan is the place where Krishna is worshipped with Radharani. But I thought that maybe these are the first Balaram temples, Krishna and Balaram, but then I remembered that there is also Dauji temple in Vrindavan on the other side we visited, and it's always crowded there also. So this is our Vaishnava tradition to worship Balaram, and that we approach Krishna by approaching Balaram. Because it is today Srivas Thakur disappearance day, I want to also say a pastime. And in this connection, there is a pastime with Lord Nityananda, because they were very much connected, because Lord Nityananda was living in his house. He was avaduta, so he could do whatever he wanted, so he decided to move in Sridhar's house. And then one day Lord Chaitanya, he came and he said to Shivas, why are you maintaining this avaduta? He's not a respectable person. Nobody knows his background. He's sometimes acting very disgraceful. And if you keep him in your house, you will lose your reputation, because you are a Brahmana. And what will people think? If you keep this avaduta in your house, you must kick him. And then Shivas was very much surprised, and he said, "Oh my dear Lord, why are you testing me? Because I know Lord Nityananda is not different from you, and that even if he eats meat and drinks wine, I will still maintain him. I will never doubt anything he does." And then Lord Chaitanya, he smiled and he said, "Okay, I see that you understand how glorious is his position." So maybe I stop here if there are some questions. Okay.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Very nice of today's class with regard to expansions of the Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna has taken the first expansion as the Balaram, and subsequently different Vasudeva, Niruddha, Prajumna, like that, no? So there are plenty of expanses, plenty of incarnations, plenty of demigods. So it's a, actually in the purport, Prabhupada has clearly mentioned that when you pour the water to the roots of the tree, that is sufficient for each and everything. Because when we know the Supreme Personality Godhead, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, it is sufficient for us. For ISKCON only our main purpose is chanting like that. Why so much expenses, so many demigods? So that is the reason why the people are getting a lot of confusion, a lot of it, they are praying to the demigods and different expansions and different incarnations. All these things have come. So when we are very much confirmed that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so what is the necessity of going through all the expenses and all incarnations? Is it only for academical knowledge or is it anyway it is faith?
As I understand your question, why is the necessity for expansions?
With regard to expenses, there's so many expenses that it's everything is there. So everywhere, each and everywhere, Lord Krishna. Without Lord Krishna's presence, nothing is there. Even a small item is also Lord Krishna's presence is there.
So my understanding is that necessity is Krishna's pleasure, that he expands as dham, as holy place. He expands as spiritual world. He expands as Lord Balaram, and then there are further expansions, material world, all the creation. So Krishna is having fun. He's having pastimes. No, just as we are persons and we do not like to be alone. So it, just as I understand, that why would he be alone? He's never alone. We see in all his in all his pastimes, he's always surrounded by associates, and then he's always followed by these other people. And just as in this previous verse, it was advised to these demigoddesses that you also take birth so that you can be you take birth in the families, in Yadu families, so that you can participate in the pastimes of the Lord. And then it also further explained that when jivas return to spiritual world, they are trained in somewhere in this material world where Lord Krishna has his pastimes. First they are trained as his associates. They participate in his pastimes in the material world before going back. So this, I think, also would refer to, for us, the idea is something is first and then it is created. But actually, Krishna is all this. This is again our experience in material world, that things are created and then that they, before they were created, they don't exist. But actually these categories of transcendental world, they are eternal. So there was never a time that Krishna was without Balaram. They are together from eternity, and they will always stay together. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.